Jackson. Welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle, The Bend Show. I am your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. We say this each week. We love hearing from all of you. Your comments, stories, ideas. Get a hold of us anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. Ride along, as always, is my producer and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. Now, are you ready for this, folks? Don't forget, Sunday at midnight, yes, March 8th, we spring ahead.
I think that is a dumb thing to do.
You are not a fan of daylight savings time.
I am not a fan at all, because I like how it is now that earlier in the morning the sun is coming up. I don't like the fact that now it's going to be later and the sun is just coming up. I like to get up early in the morning and the sun is up and the birds are chirping and the bunnies are frolicking.
But do you have that right, though, if we're going ahead an hour?
You spring forward, yeah. Yeah, okay. So what was 7 o'clock in the morning is now going to be 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. I'm just trying to get my head around which way it goes.
They would just keep it one way and just stay with it.
I am with you, too. I would prefer, the state we live in does recognize daylight savings time, and I would really like it if we would just all just stay on the same time. And then we also live in a state that has two time zones,
exactly,
which is, to me, unbelievably annoying. And it's not like our state follows a direct line. You get to actually vote by county, which
is
time
that how
zone
it is?
You're going to be in. Yes.
That's
it used,
dumb.
Yeah. So it used to be divided by the Missouri River, and now it's by county you get to decide. So it gets even more confusing.
Now, what is even more confusing is when we travel someplace, it only makes sense that because your phone and your watch updates to the time zone that you're in, you don't go by that at all, which to me is extremely confusing, where if we are in a place for a few days in dealing with those local times, why wouldn't you reference that? You're like, oh, no. I do the math in my head.
It is. I just do the math.
Makes,
for example,
no sense.
We go to Vegas. I'm not going to change my watch back 2 hours. I'm just going to do the math in my head.
It automatically does. Your phone updates to the local time. So then why would you change when you're telling somebody when you're going to meet for dinner or a meeting or something like that, and it's based on the time zone that you came from?
Okay, hold on. Just to not confuse everybody, I keep my phone, because we live so close to a border of, like I said, it's by county which time zone you're going to be in. I keep my phone set on the time zone our house is located in at all times, because I can go plus one or minus one on what time it is, right? When I go to travel, when I go and say, let's meet for supper in Vegas, knowing it's 2 hours behind my normal time zone, I give the normal Vegas time out. I just did the math. I kept everybody on the same page, okay? So it only affects you, Digger, when you grab my phone and then you look at it and you get all mixed up.
That makes no sense. I guarantee everybody is shaking their head and saying, Beck, you're making this way harder than it needs to be.
For those of you, though, like Tigger saying, you know, what's the deal with daylight savings time? Yes, the idea, the concept is that instead of having light early in the morning, you get a little late. You get more light in the evening.
That's dumb, too.
You get an extra hour at night.
This show is full of everything dumb, Beck.
Hey,
come on.
I like the idea those have to work in the office and they get home and they get an extra hour of light. It's only a pain, though, when it's still light out at 10 o'clock at night. That's when I'm going, it's a little too late.
I know that this comes up on the ballot for every state every year. There is a debate of, should we just stay on that time zone?
Okay, this was kind of neat, though, for me to read. A local meteorologist where we're at had put together how much daylight we're going to gain in the month of March. So those of you that are feeling vitamin D withdrawals, this should hopefully help you out. If you're in the northern states, we're talking Washington, Montana, North Dakota, Minnesota, cutting all the way across over to Maine, you're going to see 100 more minutes of daylight. Think about that, 100 more minutes of daylight in just 1 month. As you go down the country and you get down to the southern side, say you're in the middle of Texas through Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, you're going to see right around 60 minutes and a whole hour more of daylight in this next month. So I think we're all going to be soaking it up and having spring fever for sure. Now, for those of you planning a big game expedition here in the U.S., your application deadlines are fast approaching. I'm bringing this up so you don't miss out. These deadlines are different, by the way, for every state, and each state has their own set of rules for resident versus non-resident hunting, and it's highly recommended to always visit the state game and fish websites issuing these licenses, as rules may be modified from year to year. Few examples for you in the big game categories. March 18th, for example, New Mexico. That's the deadline for bighorn, sheep, elk, deer, and antelope. April 1st for Montana, if you're wanting to go elk or deer hunting. April 7th for Colorado. April 23rd for Utah. So again, beware that you may have already missed the boat on big game deadlines. And remember to always, when organizing a big game trip, it is so important to become familiar with that state's rules and regulations during the initial planning phase. Typically, months in advance of application deadlines is what I'm going to tell you right now.
So if you had a choice that you could go anywhere, and I know what you're going to say, but you could hunt anything.
In the United States?
Yep, in the United States, in the lower 48. What would you pick and where would you pick to harvest said game?
I have this on my bucket list, and that is I would love to go to New Mexico.
I want to go gator hunting. We still didn't get that done. Okay, New Mexico.
I want to go New Mexico, and I want to go after elk. That's what I would like to do.
You want to go after elk in New Mexico? Why?
Yes.
Okay, why wouldn't you? Is it because you've gone elk hunting in Montana and you're like, okay, I just like to go elk hunting in a different area, different terrain?
That is why. And because also so often people think of New Mexico not as a destination to go big
New
game
Mexico
hunting.
New Mexico is gorgeous.
Exactly.
New Mexico is beautiful.
That's why I want to go there.
So why would you pick elk hunting over, I would think if you're going to go to New Mexico, you're going to go after bear. So why would you pick elk over bear? I'm just curious.
I think the other reason, well, let me put this, I would want to go elk or bighorn sheep. Let me put it that way. I'm very much wanting to go after a bighorn.
Well, who isn't wanting to go after a bighorn sheep?
But for me, it comes down to after harvesting, have you ever had bear?
I have.
And that's okay.
You have to have somebody that knows how to prepare exotic game.
Yes.
I don't.
That's the reason why I wouldn't be going after bear, is because of the taste, flavor. It's so hard to cook. Now, get me wrong. Want to go bear hunting? He does want to go bear hunting at some point.
I think it would be awesome. I think it would be awesome. Nothing against going elk hunting, but I think bear hunting would be awesome.
So hold on, Mr. Prepper here, because everyone should see Tigger. When I get ready to go on an elk hunt, he literally pulls out my gear before I get it pulled out, goes through everything.
Mm-hmm.
So are you saying right now on air that you give me the thumbs up to go bear hunting when you're usually trying to keep me safe from getting eaten from a bear?
If you
he doesn't know how to answer. Look at his face is turning red. I wish you could all see this.
I'm going to say, if you allow me to pack your gear and you pay attention.
I always do.
Exactly. That you allow me to pack the gear and go through it, then yes, I would say if you had the opportunity, you know, of course, I would encourage you, go.
Well,
go do it, enjoy, and have the time of your life, kid.
You have to be honest too, though. When we prepare for even me going elk hunting, because where I go is in grizzly country, essentially big time grizzly hunt, grizzly, whatever you want to call it,
the habitat for
habitat
grizzlies.
There we go. I could not find my word.
And she's gonna go bear hunting.
But we actually take the time and go and practice. You know, for example, you think about, you've maybe used a handgun a lot in your life, but have you ever used it in that type of a situation?
Have you ever actually shot a 10 millimeter that you need to have on your side bear? I mean,
thank
that thing's
you.
Got a little buck to it.
Exactly. Where we always carve out before I head out, we carve out not just one evening, it's actually quite a few different trial runs of quick draw, of just different scenarios.
And your crew is very good about, even though you're not seasoned bear hunters, you know that you're in bear country, you know you have to be respectful of the area. it's not going in there and guns a blazing and yeehaw, and you're going to go harvest an elk and it's going to be there. I mean, you guys take it very, very serious because you know that anything could happen out there and you need to be prepared.
So. We do. And the other side of it too is we're always hunting with youngsters. When we go out, we're typically bringing some youth that this may be their first time ever elk hunting, and we need them to be just as aware. And a lot of times they sometimes tend to get a little bit,
excited.
I don't want to say cocky or what, but you know, we have to bring them back down to earth and remind them that no, we are literally walking dinner bells. Okay.
Right.
So anyway, but before we go to break, I'm going to throw this out there though. For those of you that are starting to go into some of these areas, or you're planning some trips to national parks like Yellowstone, Glacier, Rocky Mountain National Park, those areas, just remember this spring, you're still a bear bait. They're coming out of hibernation. So this is a good reminder, too, to just be very aware when you're out in the backcountry. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We're listening to The Ben Show. We've got more right after this.
Crew, this is Jeff Tigger Earhart. Check this out, coming in 2026. RanchChannel.com proudly launches the Sales Series, your inside track to the world of livestock and ranching excellence. From elite bulls, heifers, and horses to the land and equipment, products, and programs shaping the future of agriculture, we bring you the stories behind the operations, the vision behind the genetics, and the focus that can elevate your herd. Whether you're building, expanding, or fine-tuning your ranch, dive deeper into the innovations and livestock programs changing the game. The Sales Series, only on RanchChannel.com, where smart ranching starts.
Is there that particular pair of boots or that shirt or pair of jeans that you just can't find anywhere else? Check out Medora Boot and Western Wear. Medora Boot and Western Wear is the go-to for boots, jeans, especially jackets, and even those hard-to-find accessories that make perfect gifts. Check out MedoraBoot.com, or better yet, give Kim a call at 701-623-1005 and tell Kim that Tigger and Beck sent you. For the latest in Western and outdoor practical and fashionable wear, there is only one: Medora Boot and Western Wear.
This is Beck. First, I appreciate all of you for listening and making The Bend part of your week. Many of you have asked, how do I catch past episodes? The answer is super easy. Head to thebendshow.com and click on the Shows tab. There you can listen to every episode all the way back to episode one. Podcasters, head to your favorite podcasting app and search The Bend. You'll find us. Be sure to follow and subscribe and never miss another episode again. Welcome back to The Ben Show, your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle. I'm your host, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck, and ride along shotgun, my co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. Now, this next topic has become a hot one, at least in our area, and my understanding, it can be a hot one across the country. So we want your thoughts on this. I'm telling you right now up front. Here we go. This is the topic: the legality of driving ATVs, UTVs, and off-road motorcycles in road ditches is, as I mentioned, often considered highly controversial and varies drastically by local, county, and state jurisdictions. Generally, these vehicles are banned from paved roads, but some areas allow ditch riding, while others strictly prohibited due to safety risks, property damage, noise, and environmental destruction. Now, this has become a heated topic in a neighboring county of ours, where county commissioners are determining if OHVs, including ATVs, UTVs, and dirt bikes, should be banned or under strict regulations from riding county road ditches. Some of the key points of the controversy include safety concerns. They're saying off-road vehicles lack safety features, creating risks for rollovers, losing control, or even collisions with cars. It has been argued that OHVs are designed for off-road traction and have a high center of gravity, making them prone to two deadly rollovers. In other areas, property environmental damage has been brought up. They're talking about riding in ditches can destroy landscaping, cause significant destruction of property, including ruts and soil erosion, damage to public infrastructure, and cause noise complaints.
Now, this is what's interesting, and I know some people are saying, what? Well, where we're at, in a big wide open area, it's that controversy of, well, who owns the road ditches? For example, in our County, the adjacent property owner has the right to the road ditch. So if you were going to cut the hay or whatever you were going to do in that situation, and counties are different in different areas. So this has become a very, very debated topic in our area. And people, I mean, it is split right down the middle where people believe very strongly, this is my property. I have the right to it. Where others are saying, this does not belong to the property owner. It belongs to the public and we should be able to have access to it.
And the reason why they feel it belongs to the public is because they're looking at their public, they're looking at their property tax, sorry, their state taxes that they're paying that mm-hmm. pay for the public roads.
Yep.
They're looking at eminent domain, all of those different areas. And a lot of folks move out of the city urban to get a little further out in the country just so that they can have a couple acres and drive their ATVs and UTVs in the ditches.
Activity,
and they're saying, wait a second, that's the reason why I moved out of town is so I can do this. But again, it comes back to a little bit of who owns those ditches.
And we looked into it, and now it gets, I mean, when you talk about like even throw hunting rights at it, we looked into ours and, okay, it gets a little complicated of are the two lands on either side of a road? Can you actually hunt in the road ditch? I mean, it gets a little complicated.
So when you mentioned earlier about how some of the property landowners, when it comes to those in agricultural use, I thought this was interesting. I pulled up North Dakota Century Code, for example, okay? And their Century Code is 63-0501, in case you want to look it up yourself. There they state that landowners or operators along county and township highways are required to cut weeds and grasses. It is the duty of landowners or operators with land adjoining regularly traveled county and township highways as designated by the Township Board of Supervisors and organized townships, the Board of County Commissioners in these unorganized townships, and the Board of County Commissioners in the case of county highways, to cut all weeds and grasses along the regularly traveled highways adjoining their lands, including weeds and grasses growing within the public right-of-way, bordering the highways and their lands. The cutting shall be completed no later than September 15th or October 1st as prescribed by the Board of County Commissioners. The Board of County Commissioners may also, if necessary, require an additional cutting to be completed by August 1st. I read the entire paragraph in case you want to go fact check me and look this up on how this state has it written. But that comes back to where I can see landowners saying, hold on, it's fine if you want to drive up and down the ditches, but you're ripping them up and you're causing ruts. Now I'm required by law to mow them, hay them, do weed control. And they're fighting back saying, wait a second, we're sitting here with damages that nobody's going to compensate us for, if that makes sense.
So we were following this one in some Facebook groups locally, and this one was blowing up. I mean, there was, and especially now that it's getting so darn nice out and we all have got spring fever and we all want to get the four-wheelers out and the side-by-sides. I get it. I totally get it. But this thing is really blowing up locally.
Well, and what's been interesting reading the comments is I've heard some people saying, you know, everyone's up for, you know, they want less government, right? They're going, no, we don't want more government telling us what we can do. Other people are joining on, and their dealerships, local businesses, service shops saying, wait a second, you could impede in our business of how many of these UTVs, ATVs we get sold
that
because
makes
people
sense.
Are buying them to ride them in the ditches.
I see that.
Other comments I saw was, are we with a ban deterring youth from going in the outdoors? Because sometimes folks have said, well, this is one of the escape. I can actually get the kids to get out of the house if they're told they can go ride their four-wheeler up and down the ditches. And then the other side of it is some folks, I saw this from real estate agents actually posting saying, don't have a ban because they're worried it might hurt property values because people are wanting a couple acres out in the country. And again, the mindset of being able to drive wherever with their UTVs, ATVs.
I have a solution to this. I have a solution. So whatever that ordinance is, and in the neighboring county, this is being up debate. They're trying to change some things. I get it. But whatever that ordinance is, so let's say like in our county where you and I are the landowners, we have the responsibility and we have the right to be able to use that ditch, right?
Yes.
That's what we have.
Yes.
So that is in our county. Now, if someone, just like asking permission to hunt on your land, even though it's electronically posted and publicly posted, you know, with a sign, go up to that landowner and maybe ask them, this is what we're doing. We would love to be able to, the kids, to be able to have a great Sunday afternoon riding four-wheelers or something like that. My solution is get to know some of these landowners. You never know. They might say, oh, how about come back here, you know, in this area?
That's
you
actually a
know.
Great suggestion, because I saw that come up in a lot of comments too, where folks were saying, but this is how my kids, they, you know, grandpa and grandma bought a place just a few miles down, and this way they can kind of go in between the two properties. Well, anyway, this is our discussion. We'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Send us a text or give us a call at 305-900-2363. Again, 305-900-2363. Or you can email bendradioshow@gmail.com. We're taking a short break. We'll be back right after this with more of The Bend Show.
It's the sale worth waiting for. CK Bar Ranch. Simmental and Simmangus bulls designed to add pounds and profit to your program, where bulls offer the best of both worlds with proven calving ease and growth to maternal strength. Join the CK Bar Ranch crew Friday, April 3rd at St. Ange Livestock in St. Ange, South Dakota. Bid and buy online at DV Auction, and videos, catalogs, and sale information available at ranchchannel.com and ckbarranch.com. Join us April 3rd in St. Ange, South Dakota for a powerful set of bulls ready to go to work for you.
You've waited, dreamt of a hunting adventure, and now have harvested that trophy of a lifetime. Keep the memory alive with a custom-designed mount preserved as a work of art. Check out our approved taxidermist. Depending on your location, the award-winning Schneider Taxidermy is located in Helena, Montana. When hunting the Dakotas, JB's Wildlife Designs in Mandan, North Dakota, then Shadron Creek Taxidermy in Nebraska, and for the Central USA, Little Rack Taxidermy in Macomb, Illinois. Reach out to The Bend Show and let us help you find the right taxidermist.
Do you want to promote your product or your event? You want to get in front of the right audience? You want to make your business grow, take it to the next level? You know you need more, and that's where Beck and I come in. We can help. Drop us a message and find out more today.
Welcome back to The Bend Show, your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck, and Jeff Tigger Earhart is sitting across from me. Now, just a little heads up, we're into March, and that also means that St. Paddy's Day is not far off.
Oh, the luck of the Irish.
Yes. This year it falls on a Tuesday, which I think is awesome because, to me, in my opinion, you can have a St. Paddy's party the weekend before and you can have another one the weekend after.
That's good thinking.
I'm bringing this up, though, because how many of you still go and celebrate St. Paddy's? And I don't care how old you are, because get this, it is made for all ages.
So are we going to host our pinochle party? We didn't last year. I don't know what the deal was last year. That got too cold or something. I don't remember. But the year before, we had a pinochle party at our place on St. Patrick's weekend, and it was awesome. So are we going to do that again?
Well, that's what I was bringing this up, honey, because
you are putting me on the spot to clean said shop.
Yes, the time is here. We've only got a few, you know, a week and a half out, but this is, we're just like everybody else under the gun then. Are we going to have a party? And I will be honest. I will say there are two holidays that are the ones to host if you want no drama and the least amount of stress, and that would be first, Halloween,
yep.
A Halloween party.
Yep.
Second is a St. Paddy's party. I'm telling you, yeah. They are super easy to host.
And we did the car party. Yes, we did pinochle, and we had, oh my gosh, because we had what, five or six tables?
We had six tables of four.
That's what we had. Okay.
So and 24 then we, people involved.
And then we did a round robin is kind of how we did that. And we had prizes and everything for that too, didn't we? It was a lot of fun. It took like 3-4 hours. We had a great time.
Oh, it was awesome. If you're familiar with pinochle, you're wondering how we did it. The winners stayed at the table. The losers had to move to the next table. And we just kept moving around until everybody had played against everyone else. And yes, we did have a kitty. It was not gambling, so nobody can come at us or anything like that.
It was you. For food and drinks, y'all. That's what it was.
But I gotta say, with our adult friends, they loved this because so often the kids then are off doing their own thing. They're at that age where they don't want to hang out with mom and dad. And now it's March. And really, St. Patty's, it's not really a holiday you celebrate with the kids. So getting together with adults is so much fun. The other reason why I love hosting a St. Patty's party.
Green beer.
Yes.
Are you serious?
You can add, have you, I, did you know, well, you're not a beer drinker.
I am,
so last,
I'm not a beer drinker.
The other year,
y'all.
You didn't drink not, any of it
no,
that I had.
No, yeah. I'm not a beer drinker. It's just, I had enough of it when I was younger in my college days in the keg form. I'll be honest with y'all. I mean, I know that doesn't surprise anybody, but I am not a beer drinker at all.
Okay, but because he wasn't one, I had already planned ahead and had made Jello shots. Some of you are shaking your head. Oh my gosh, who even has Jello shots anymore?
I had Irish whiskey too.
Yes, you
I
did.
I was celebrating because you're what, a quarter Irish?
I am a quarter Irish.
I have zero Irish blood in me. I am full blood German all the way back, but I am looking forward to celebrating my Irish friends.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you are too. So there you have it. We're just really suggesting, think about, this is your might be your last time to get together until graduation or a wedding happens.
Great idea, Beck. Great idea. So I need to put together the list and get it emailed out.
And on that note, we're going to call this show wrapped for this week, folks. Remember to keep sending us in any questions you might have or thoughts on any hot topics we share with you. We always love hearing from you right from the field. You can call or text anytime, 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of this show or want to hear past episodes, you can find them all on the website, thebendshow.com. And finally, a big thanks to all of you listeners out there that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me, Beck, all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch Beck if you can next week on The Bend.